Father, we come before you this evening, and we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the simplicity of it. And as we continue to study the book of Proverbs, Holy Spirit, would you continue to speak to us? Lord, this book is all about wisdom. So we thank you, Lord, that you moved on Solomon all those years ago to write these things down for our learning. What a blessing it is, Lord, to learn at other people's expense. Lord, help us to learn. Help us to know what wisdom is and to use it in our life. Help us to trust you, Lord. So, Lord, tonight I ask that you would just bless this time in your word. And I pray that, Lord, for the next hour or so, as we cover these verses, that, Lord, we wouldn't think about the week that was or the week to come, but that, Lord, we would just carve out this time and truly listen. Truly listen through your voice, through your word. And Lord, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, we're in Proverbs, obviously. And so a few weeks ago, we started the book. And, you know, in the first chapter, it kind of gives a reason why the book of Proverbs was written. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, or fairness, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then, most feel that the theme of the entire book is found in verse 7 of chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And when it says the fear of the Lord, of course, we've talked about this so many times as we've gone through the book of Psalms before Proverbs. The fear of the Lord simply is a reverence for God, a reverential awe for who God is, and a reverence to put him first in your life. And then as we finished the first chapter and part of, we finished the first chapter, and then we finished the part of chapter 1 and chapter 2, we talked about the fact that throughout this book, wisdom is personified as a woman, okay? And we're going to talk a lot about wisdom and foolishness, and understand something, that wisdom is from God, and foolishness is from man, okay? And I want to share this with you guys. I heard this week as I was studying. This is actually a pretty good, you know, we talked about what is wisdom, you know, because we always in church pray, Lord, give me wisdom, or give this person wisdom. And we're always like, what are we actually praying for exactly? And, you know, wisdom is knowing what to do at a certain time and do it in a way that pleases God. Well, I heard a couple other meanings for wisdom. Wisdom is agreeing with God. Wisdom is seeing life God's way or from God's perspective. I thought that was a really good way to think about it. See, there's two ways to look at this world, through the lens of God or through our own lens. And if we try to look through our own lens, we're going to see things with our fleshly eyes that aren't going to make any sense. But if we look through God's perspective, if you will, it changes everything. In fact, you know, you guys may have heard this term, a biblical worldview. Ever hear this? Having a biblical worldview. Having a biblical worldview is looking at the world through the lens of Scripture. But if you want to peel back even more, you know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is looking at this life from God's perspective. And when you look at this life from God's perspective, it keeps you out of all kinds of trouble, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Okay, so we left off in chapter 3, verse 1. And so we'll read the first few verses, and then we'll back up to unpack, and we'll keep moving then. So, my son. Now remember, who's the human author of this book? It's Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives and concubines. He had probably multiple sons. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem or good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so Solomon here writing says, my son, do not forget my law. Now, why would Solomon say that? He would say that because we forget. We forget. And unfortunately, the older we get, the more we forget. You know? but don't forget my law. And as we go through this, you're going to see how kind of it kind of builds on each other. So don't forget my law. Okay. In contrast, let your hearts keep. Let your hearts guard. Let your hearts retain my commands, what I've said. Okay, my word. All right? For if you do this, what's going to happen? You're going to have length of days and a long life. And peace they will add to you. I remember when you read the book of Genesis, I remember at the very end of the book, it talks about the patriarch Jacob. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but it talks about how Jacob lived a long life, a full life. And so what that means is, when I read that, you know, obviously he was older, but it's not just being older, but he lived a life dedicated to the Lord. And so however long you live on this earth, you know, I want to be described as that I've lived a full life in the sense of I've lived a life that was dedicated to God, that I followed what the Lord said. So if you don't forget the law and you, your heart, you keep my commands for the length of days and long life, and also not only that, not only length of days and long life, but we'll throw this in, and peace they will add to you. Who doesn't want peace? See, again, if you're using wisdom, remember we talked about this last week when we started chapter 2, how wisdom is basically crying on the street corner for everybody to hear. If you take wisdom, if you use wisdom, if you will. And by the way, who is the ultimate source of wisdom?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is, it says in the Colossians, but you could say God too. See, if you ask God and you follow his word, because in his word there is wisdom, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have length of days, a long life, and then also you're going to have peace. Can anybody attest to that? It's amazing when you look back on your life. I can look back on my life and I can see where I did not use wisdom and I brought all kinds of trouble to my life. And I had no peace because of it. He goes on, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, when he says that, bind them around your neck, you know, I was thinking about this. What does that exactly mean? Well, you guys ever, okay, I remember when my wife and I were dating and also, you know, throughout years of marriage, I bought her necklaces. And I bought them for various reasons so that when she looks at her necklace, she remembers me, right? Or remembers an event. Okay, maybe you're not a wife, but maybe you're a guy and, you know, I don't know, some guys wear whatever, or you get a tattoo, whatever. My whole point is this, okay? What I'm trying to get at is this. What he's saying to them is, bind them around your neck and write them on the top of your heart. In other words, carry them wherever you go. Don't leave them behind, because that word for forsake in the Hebrew, it means to leave behind. So don't leave them behind. Carry them wherever you go. Mercy and truth. And who is the ultimate epitome of mercy and truth? Jesus is. So take mercy and truth wherever you go. And listen to what it says. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem or good understanding, your translations, mainstream translations say, in the sight of God and of man. Because look, do you remember, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke where it says that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom in the eyes of man and of God. Okay? That can happen. See, if you follow God's wisdom, if you follow wisdom, you know, you can be put in a particular situation and you can be blessed even because God's blessing you because you're following his wisdom, and the world, in a sense, God is blessing you through whatever the world puts you in. You know, am I making sense? So, like, if you have a job, okay, and you use wisdom at your job, you will get rewarded, most likely, if you use wisdom, okay? And so, find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, these next few verses are probably famous verses. Some of you have probably maybe memorized them. You've heard them before. But let's kind of look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, trust in the Lord. Okay? Put your confidence in, rely upon, depend upon in the Lord with all your heart. Now, why does he say with all your heart? Well, we often talk about this in the church. We say, you need to surrender to the Lord, right? We even sing a song, I surrender all to you. You know, I surrender all, right? Why? Because for some reason as humans, we don't want to surrender all. We'll surrender 80%, but we'll keep the other 20. Or we'll even surrender 95%, but we'll keep the other 5. And the other 5 we keep is going to screw us up. But see, again, it's not a one-time thing. I don't know if you've noticed that, Like, yes, when you first come to Christ, you surrender your life to him, right? But here's what I found. Even after doing that, as I live this life, as I live in this sin-fallen world, I have to surrender again. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. And in surrendering and in trusting, remember, we talked about this on Sunday when we talked about faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting. And when you trust someone, do you fully trust them? And if you fully trust them, that means you're going to relinquish control because you trust them, right? It's like you have a job and you may be a manager and you have people under you who are working for you, and you have to relinquish control. You have to trust them that they're going to do their job because you're going to be the one held accountable. But in a real sense, when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it is the word, don't hold anything back. Give it all to him. You got to put it all in his hands. Trusting God is a big deal. It's not something to take lightly, but it's also something that we need to do more of. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then he says, lean not on your own understanding. Now, lean, what does it mean to lean? So like I lean on this podium to keep, well, not this keeping me up, but if I was so tired, it would keep me up. Or you lean against a wall. You know, you prop yourself against a wall. Why? Because you want support. So to lean means to kind of trust in that support in a sense. And so what he's saying here is, look, you trust the Lord with all your heart, but then listen, don't lean on your own understanding. Because who is God? God is the creator of the universe. He's sovereign over all. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful, right? He's everywhere. So you should lean on him because of that. So why do we lean on ourselves or on understanding? Listen, let me ask you a question. What do you think your life would be like right now if you didn't have Christ or the Lord and you looked at our culture today? Would you understand anything? Would anything make sense to you? I mean, even as a Christian, nothing makes sense, but you know what I mean? Like, there's no right perspective. Again, I said, like, wisdom is what? Wisdom is looking at life from God's perspective. If you're not looking at life from God's perspective, what are you going to make of this life? Why do you think people who are lost do lost things? Because they're lost, because they don't know any better. And so don't lean on your own understanding. And so why do we often do that? We always do that. Look, it's crazy to me, but listen, I fall in that category too, guys. You know, we're supposed to trust God with all our heart and not lean on understanding. And there's times where I've leaned on my understanding. Again, I can look back in my life where I've leaned on my own understanding and it's got me in trouble. Then he says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, that word direct is interesting. It means to make smooth or make straight your paths. Your paths are going to be straighter. Your paths are going to be smoother. What? If you acknowledge him in all of your ways. Okay? This is kind of an interesting example. I was thinking about this today. I was reading through this again. And you guys ever watch, and if you didn't, that's okay. You ever watch the Grammys or the American Music Awards? I remember when I was younger watching these. And this idea of acknowledging God in all your ways. And then some artist comes up and says, I want to thank God because they won the award for best song, but the best song is I killed my wife and put her in the trunk of my car. And you're like, how are you thanking God for that? I don't think that's what that means here. That's not what that means. That's not what that means, okay? But how about this? I've met people who have been healed of cancer who will not acknowledge the fact that God did it. There's no explanation how. All the tests that said beforehand that they were going to die, that there was no way, no answer or no cure for this, and then God intervenes and heals them. No, he didn't do it. The doctors must have misread the scan. See, acknowledging God, that God is in everything. God is in everything. God is in every aspect of your life. Yes, you may not like sometimes the direction your life takes, but here's the thing. A couple things to keep in mind. One of the reasons the direction your life is in may be because you're not leaning on God's understanding. You're leaning on your own. Another reason is God is always going to get you where he wants you to be. You can drag your feet, you can fight him, but he's going to get you where you're supposed to be. And here's the thing, the more you fight him, the more you drag your feet, it's going to take more years. If you just acknowledge him in all your ways and just ask him to lead you, to direct you, guess what? You'll end up there faster. I had an older Christian years ago tell me this as a young man, as a young Christian, saying, listen, if you can get that down, it's going to make your life so much easier. It's going to make your path so much smoother. Then he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And listen, when he says that, there's this idea of arrogance to it. Okay? As smart as you think you are, you're never as smart as God. Keep that in mind. I don't care what university you go to. I don't care how much knowledge you put in your brain. You're never smarter than the creator of the universe. You'll never be. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And that gets people in a lot of trouble. There is this term that is used in the medical field for doctors. It's called a God complex. Where often a lot of them have this complex in their mind where they act they almost as if you should worship me because I'm God because I just fixed you. I'm a brain surgeon. I just worked on your brain and all these things. It's like, well, wait a minute. If you're acknowledging God in all your ways, realize that the only reason why you're able to do that is because God gives you the ability to do it. There's a difference. Now, he goes on, fear the Lord. Again, same idea, reverence. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't get yourselves involved with evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, health to your flesh, you could literally say navel. And this is interesting. Okay. When you're born, you come out of the womb of your mother, you're still attached by the umbilical cord, right? And where is your umbilical cord attached? At your navel. And as a baby in your mother's womb, where do you get all the source of life? From the navel. That's why he says that. It will be health. So if you aren't wise in your own eyes, and you depart from evil, it's going to be like health to your flesh, health to your navel, and strength to your bones, or literally a drink or a refreshment. So if you do these things, see how I said in the beginning? You read through these things as kind of one step after the other. You know, if you don't forget the law, if you keep his commands, you're going to have long days, long life, peace. Okay? Don't leave mercy and truth behind. You see how he's kind of building this? And then in all your ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? If you do that, he will direct. He will make your paths smooth. He'll make them straight. Do not be wise. And if you're not wise in your own eyes, if there's not arrogance, if you fear the Lord, have a proper fear of the Lord, a reverential awe, it's going to be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Who doesn't want that in their life? Verse 9, honor the Lord with all your possessions. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, when you read the Old Testament, the first fruits was always kind of the first harvest, if you will. The first fruits. You would give your first portion back to the Lord as what? As an act of worship. Okay? I know today in the church has gotten all kinds of crazy stuff. All right? But the point here is honor the Lord with your possessions. You ever notice that when you begin to buy things in your flesh, it's never enough? You ever notice that? And like, you know, I know so many people who will work all kinds of hours at a job to buy all this stuff, and they never get to enjoy it because they're always working. you ever drive in a neighborhood, like, you know, with these houses, with these $600,000 houses now? Like, near where my parents live in Gilbertsville, there's this neighborhood now that's starting, it's the low 600s. But if you drive past there, nobody's ever home. And you know where they are? They're working to pay for it. Is that really life? Not really. But see, again, and I've mentioned this before, we have a problem in our country today. We are very comfortable, and it has led to all kinds of issues with us. We have a lack of not trusting God. And as I shared on Sunday morning, you know, walking by faith, when I was younger, walking by faith meant using the credit card. And that's not what it's about. Because here's the thing. If God wants you to have it, he'll give you the money to get it. But if he doesn't want you to have it, then he's not going to provide the money for you. And he never promised he's going to provide what you want. He's always going to promises to provide what you need. You know, we all need food. We all need shelter. We all need clothing. Okay, I have all those things. I'm blessed. Wonderful. You know, you realize that we live in a country where most of us, you know, we may live in a 950 square foot house, which is what I do. That's how big my house is. I'm a millionaire compared to people in India. We really have a wrong perspective on this. But he's saying, look, honor the Lord with your possessions. You know, I heard it said once by a pastor. He said, if you really want to know if a person's following the Lord, look at their checkbook. Where are they spending their money? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And then he says this, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So you give to get, right? No. You give as an act of worship, and what God's saying is, if you give as an act of worship, I'm going to cover all that you need.
Amen.
That's what he's saying here.
Amen.
Verse 11, my son, as an aside, So this earlier this week, I was listening to when we taught through 2 Corinthians and chapter 8 and 9, and I didn't realize this, but chapter 9, when I taught through chapter 9, is all about New Testament giving. I took an hour and a half, an hour and 20 minutes I taught. That's how long I took. I was like, whoa. You guys were like, God, I wasn't there for that Sunday. But I wanted to be thorough. Anyway, so my son, verse 11, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now, when he says chastening, when you say chastening, that basically means discipline or correction. Okay? He goes on, nor to test his correction. For listen, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. And listen, look, all of the best fathers in the world, okay, will discipline their sons. I didn't say beat their sons, but they will discipline their sons. They will correct them. Why? Because they care about them. So in other words, listen, you know, hey, don't touch the muffler of your grandfather's tractor after he just used it, or you'll burn your hands. Okay, like I did, and then you'll burn your hand, and I did. Burned all my fingers. It was wonderful. So I got corrected after that. But you bring correction. Why? Because you care about it. Like, you know, my father brought correction in my life, and I look back, and I'm so thankful because it showed that he cared about me. If he just said, hey, do whatever you want, go play in traffic, I'll see you later, then that shows he doesn't care. Every good father is going to care, okay? Now, put your finger here in Proverbs and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. You guys are going to have a head start when we hit Hebrews 12 on Sunday. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 just so happens that the author of Hebrews talks about discipline. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, it says this, for consider him, that's Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. In other words, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines or corrects, and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So, in other words, how does the father prove that you're a son? Well, how he proves your son is he actually corrects you. That's how he proves that he's your father. Same way with us in our life. How does God prove that he's our heavenly father? Well, he corrects us. He just doesn't let us, you know, hey, we're saved, see you later. No, he's there to correct us. My goodness, I think of so many times in my life where God has corrected me, and I'm so thankful that he did. He just corrected me this week about something. He's still doing it. Verse 9, furthermore, can anybody relate? Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, and that we may be partakers of his holiness. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Yeah, who likes to be disciplined? Anybody here? No. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So in other words, correction, discipline trains you. And what's interesting is, listen, discipline is like a little pain now to spare you much greater pain later. You ever look at it like that? Discipline now is a little pain now that spares you much greater pain later. That's why God corrects us. That's why God disciplines us. And again, that proves that God is our Father because he corrects us. Now back to Proverbs. So again, verse 11, chapter 3. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Wonderful. And the man who gains understanding. See, isn't that wonderful? You ever... You're at work and you're trying to figure out something and you gain understanding and you're so excited because you gain understanding, you finally understand something. It's so much more with the Lord. Verse 14, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Now, what he's talking about here is wisdom. Remember, I said wisdom is personified as a woman. For her proceeds are better than profits of silver. Wow. And her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. He's talking about wisdom. He's talking about wisdom. Wow. Again, back to this idea from verse 2, verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. This sounds so wonderful, doesn't it? That's what wisdom provides. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wow. This is the benefits of wisdom. So you read this and you go, why wouldn't I want that in my life? Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. See, wisdom, to know what to do. So God knew exactly how to make the earth that we could live there as humans. He knew the right amount of H2O, right? Right amount of high, whatever. I'm not a scientist. You know, all the gases in the air. I'm having a brain. He knew the right amount of photosynthesis that has to happen with the plants so Adam and Eve could eat the plants at the beginning, all those things. He knows everything. He knows how far the sun has to be from the earth so the earth doesn't become I forget what planet it is, Venus or Mercury. It's just a barren planet because it's burning. It's so close to the sun. He knows all that. He has all that wisdom. So think about this. If he knew how to do that, what do you think he could do with your life if you give your life to him? Interesting. You ever consider that? So the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. And this could be an allusion to Genesis 7 when he brought the flood. Verse 21, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so that they will be life to your soul and again, grace to your neck. In other words, you're carrying around your neck. You're going to carry it everywhere. Okay? Verse 23, then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. Who wants to stumble? Nobody wants to stumble. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. See, here's one of the problems we have. We get so consumed with our life. We get so consumed with our jobs. When we go to bed at night, we can't turn our brain off. Ever been there? Yeah. So what I've tried to do recently in particular as I've tried to go to bed, is pray. Lord, forgive me for this anything I did today that was contrary to your word or something of that nature. Lord, please help me just to think about you. Help me to think about what I read this morning in my quiet time. And what I found is the last few nights I've been doing this, I've gone to sleep pretty quickly. Or better yet even, I've opened up my Bible and started to read. Isn't it funny when you open up your Bible at night, you're like... like this. But if you're reading if you're reading romance novel, you're like wide awake, oh boy, you know, or whatever. Or you're reading sports on your phone. You ever notice that? By the way, they've shown if you read your phone before you go to bed, it messes you up. Because when you wake up, you feel terrible. I've done that already. I've justified it, but I gotta listen to this podcast about this prophecy thing going on. I gotta listen to it and I wake up and I feel terrible the next morning because I listened to it before I went to bed. Just some extra advice, okay? Only say it because that's what I did. But again, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Yes, listen, I have, you know, and I think about this, and so many people have anxiety right now because you don't know what the future holds because things don't look too good, do they? They don't. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's God. I know that God wins in the end. So to try to say, okay, I trust you, God. Again, it comes back to you. Trust the Lord with all your heart. God, I trust you. I may see things right now I do not understand, but you know what? I trust you, Lord. Increase my trust in you, please. That's what I've so tried to do in my life. And when I don't do that, I let the anxiety of this world or what I see with my fleshly eyes get to me. See, one of the reasons there's a problem with anxiety today is because of the fact that we don't trust God. I know that's not popular. I know the popular thing to do is to go to your doctor and he prescribes a drug and then it kind of messes with you and then you can never get off of it again. That's kind of the part of the course. Everybody wants an answer. They want an answer with a little pill, but here's your answer. Your answer is God. Your answer is the presence of God. Your answer is spending time in the Word. Your answer is speaking to Him in prayer. He wants to hear from you. That's the answer. Verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Verse 26. For the Lord will be your confidence. See, the Lord will be your confidence. I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in God. Because listen, if God came through before, He's going to come through again. For the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those whom it's due when it is in the power of your hands to do so. In other words, what He's getting at, settle your accounts. If you can settle your accounts, settle your accounts. Verse 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. See, remember, in those days, you know, and I know it's not so much anymore, unfortunately, neighbors would help each other. And, you know, in those days, or in this time, in the Middle East, even to this day, hospitality is so big. Okay? But it goes beyond hospitality. You know, neighbors would help neighbors. Unfortunately, today, we really don't have that a lot. Verse 30. And when you helped your neighbor, it gave you a sense of, I'm not alone. And all the more as a Christian, when you help your neighbor, you're showing the love of Christ to them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't do a very good job of that. Part of it is because I'm busy all the time, quote unquote. Do not strive, verse 30, with man without cause if he has done you no harm. Don't strive with a man without cause. Don't strive with somebody if you don't have to. There's no reason to. But we do. I don't know. Verse 30, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. Abomination there is a detestable thing. It's detestable to God. A perverse person, someone who's crooked, okay? For the perverse person is abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. And in a real sense, it seems like secret counsel, doesn't it? Because people will look at your life, and if you trust in God, if you look to God for wisdom in your life, if you ask for godly wisdom and to follow that in your life, it's going to almost be like people will look at you and go, what's the secret? Where is this counsel coming from? What counselor do you see? Oh, I know his name. He's a mighty counselor. Everlasting Father. That's who I see. You want to meet him? And it's free? Good. It's free. I see all these commercials now, or these radio spots now, for like, if you have certain insurance, they have all these free counseling sessions. I'm like, or whatever, your insurance will pay for it. Hey, forget your insurance. There's a free counseling session every single moment of the day. It's right there. He's right there. For the perverse person, again, verse 32, is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. And look, if you live in such a way that you please God, God will take care of you. He will. Guarantee it. Verse 34, surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Now, turn to James 4 a minute. Turn to James 4. James chapter 4, verse 6. New Testament, right-hand turn. You hit Revelation, go back to the left. James 4. James quotes this verse. He says, but he gives more grace. That is, God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. So a way you could translate scornful in Proverbs is proud, or full of pride, is the idea there. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Why? Because somebody who's proud, guess what, doesn't acknowledge God, does he? Or does she? But someone who's humble realizes, in light of who God is, who we really are. That we are nothing without him. You know, Jesus would say in John chapter 15, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the reason God works in our ways in the way he does is because he wants us to give him the credit. He wants us to rely upon him, not on ourselves. Somebody who is prideful is going to rely on themselves. What keeps you from coming to the Lord? It's pride. Oftentimes, guys, hate to say this, but men, we're very prideful, aren't we? We're very prideful. We will trust in our own strength. We will trust in our own understanding. We will trust in our own wisdom. And yet, we need to not be proud, but humble ourselves and trust in God. So back to Proverbs. So Proverbs 3, verse 35. The wise shall inherit the glory, but the shame shall be the legacy of fools. Wow. I don't want that to be my legacy. Chapter 4. Here we go. Hear my children. So ladies, when you thought you were off the hook, you're not. Hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. I give you good doctrine, or I give you good teaching. Again, do not forsake my law. In other words, don't leave it behind. Don't leave it behind. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. The problem with us is we retain everything else but the words of the Lord, don't we? Like today at work, we were talking about something, and they were surprised that I knew it. And I was like, yeah, that's one of the wasteful brain cells I have in my computer, in my brain. I don't need to know that. We're talking about some musical. I don't even watch musicals, but I knew this answer. And so it's like, can I take that musical out and instead put scripture in there? Am I the only one who struggles with that?
No.
See, he says, let your word retain my words. It's one of the reasons why in Psalm 119 he talked about hiding the word of God in your heart, treasuring it in your heart. Because, again, notice how he said, let your heart retain my words. Your heart is what makes a convert of your mind. It starts inside. Keep my commands and live. And Lord, guys, if you keep God's commands, you will live. Verse 5, get wisdom. And in my Bible, it has get wisdom, exclamation point. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't you want that? Wisdom, understanding. I want it. Wonderful. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Again, wisdom. And she will preserve you. See, again, if you don't forsake wisdom, if you don't leave wisdom behind, she will preserve you. Love her. She will keep you. Wow. Wisdom, listen, is the principal thing, isn't it? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So, by the way, as you're making wisdom the principal thing, and as you're getting, get understanding too. It's a wonderful byproduct. Wonderful. Verse 8, exalt her, and she will promote you. It's so true. You use wisdom at a job, and as a result, guess what happens? You get promoted. That's literally happened to me. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor and when you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. This sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Verse 10, hear my son and receive my sayings and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. And listen, sometimes we do stumble, don't we? But isn't God gracious enough that when we do stumble, hey, come on, let's keep going. Verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. And by the way, look at it like this. God, if you stumble, will reach out his hand and pick you up. The world will say, get out of here. But walk right over you. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So listen, all of these last in chapter 3, now in chapter 4, wisdom, holding on to it, get it, hold on to it, keep it, retain it. All these things, that's what we want to do as a Christian. We want to keep wisdom. We want to keep godly wisdom. And where is godly wisdom found? It's found in his word. It's found in, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. And you know, it's like almost saying, look, you're walking and you see a path. Don't even go into the entrance of the path. Just keep going past it. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And what's crazy, guys, is we will see that in our life. God will reveal that to us. Don't go that direction. And you know what we'll do? We'll go that direction. It's like you're driving and you see, okay, up ahead, bridge out. Oh, okay. How many times in my life, the bridge is out ahead. I'm strong enough to jump that gap. No problem, God. I'm like Bionic Man. You know, you guys remember that show? Yeah. True story. I was like 5 or 6 years old. My dad bought this new red Weber grill, charcoal grill. It was beautiful. The paint was perfect. Well, somebody thought they were the $6 million man and picked up the lid and dropped it and chipped it. Needless to say, I was never allowed to watch the $6 million man again. But here's the thing, when he wasn't home, I'd sneak and watch it. So, Dad, if you're watching, sorry. But the hell, I don't know, anyway, whatever. That's all you're going to remember from tonight's study. Okay, verse 16. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Oh, I don't want to be part of this. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Wow, there are people like this today. There are leaders we have like this. You know, it's really interesting because it's very hard as a believer to relate to that, isn't it? At least I hope it is. You ever see something in this life and you go, huh, how do they sleep at night? Remember during COVID? I remember during COVID saying to my wife, look, I know that there's certain agendas being done in the news, especially the mainstream news, but you're going to tell me there's nobody in that news office who's going, what are we doing? What is going on here? This is nuts. Nobody? Anyway, verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Doesn't sound so good, does it? In contrast to what we read earlier about wisdom. Verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. Isn't it true? Look, there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Are you in the kingdom of light or are you in the kingdom of darkness? So listen, if you become a part of the kingdom of light, why dabble in darkness? Don't understand that. Tell you what, free information. Turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5.
That's a good chapter.
Thank you. Okay, let me read this to you. This chapter is about walking in love, walking in wisdom, walking in the light. So he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, love it, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3, but fornication or sexual immorality and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous who is idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God or kingdom of Christ in God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, now walking in the light. For you were once darkness. Listen to what he says here. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you're in the light, in the kingdom of light, why would you want to dabble in the darkness? I don't understand that. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And yet I see it all of the time as a pastor. I see it all the time. People forsake reading the Bible. They forsake coming to church. They forsake praying, and they go and do stuff, and they dabble in the darkness. And then they wonder why their lives go off course, why their paths are no longer straight. For it is shameful, listen to what Paul says here. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. In other words, what's done in the darkness, I can't even tell you because it's so shameful what they do. But all things that are exposed are made manifest or revealed by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Last part, what I'm going to hit today, tonight. Walk in wisdom. So, see then that you walk circumspectly, but not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly, the idea there is like, the word is akrobos in the Greek. It's like walking a tight wire. If you're going to walk a tight wire, you better have wisdom, right? And you better walk straight. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Don't waste your time on stuff that's not important. And yet we do it all the time. Let's just sit back and watch Netflix and chill, right? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look, here's what I hear at my job often. Two things. What did you watch and what did you drink? That's what I hear from people. So people ask me, what do you watch? And I'll be honest, on Sunday afternoons, after I'm totally exhausted, I'll put on Beat Bobby Flay. I usually watch cooking shows. Don't ask me why I do. I don't know. Maybe in Love Life I was a chef. I don't know. But I'm just enamored by this. Like, that they're able to take, like, ingredients and know just enough and it tastes delicious. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. You know, anyway, whatever. It has its time and place. It has its time and place. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But I know so many people who, they work their job, they come home, and they just watch TV. They watch TV either till they take a shower and then go to bed, or they watch TV, then they go to bed. That's their life. That's it. Then on the weekends, you do things around the house, whatever. That's your life. There's so much more to life than that. And it's like, you know, if I'm struggling in my life, guys, and I'm speaking from this is I've done this. You're struggling with something in your life. What do you do? What's the answer? Well, let me watch TV. The answer is, why don't I pray? Why don't I read the Word? Here's why I come to church when it's available. Just saying. Trust me, I've been there. I've totally been there. My goodness, I used to be like that when my kids were little. What a terrible example I was as a godly father to them. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord is. How are you going to understand the will of the Lord if you're walking in darkness and if you're walking unwise? How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is? You're not. If you forsake wisdom, if you forsake his commands, you forsake his law, you forsake his word, you leave it behind, do you really think you're going to know what God's will is for your life? No. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So back to Proverbs, guys. Back to Proverbs 4. So again, verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. See, they're so in darkness, they don't even know what makes them stumble. Crazy. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. The idea of inclining your ear is bending your ear to listen. You ever talk to somebody somewhere and you can't hear them? So what do? You kind of move in to listen. That's what he's saying here. Move in to listen. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Wow, always starts with the heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Again, the same theme that we talked about in Proverbs 3. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it. In other words, guard it. Watch over it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Put effort into doing that, for out of it springs the issues of life. Isn't that true? That's where it all starts. The problem is the problem of the heart. It always starts internally. See, in their culture, we think we can fix problems from the outside in. You can't. You can't. It needs to be fixed from the inside out. And the only person that can do that is God. That's it. Put away from, verse 24, put away from your, or from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Put away deceitful mouth. You lie. be lying. You ever been at a point in your life where you've lied so much you don't even know what the truth is anymore? It's not a good way to live. And put perverse lips far from you. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. See, if I'm going to follow Christ, if Christ is leading me, where do I need to look? Straight ahead. Straight ahead. The problem I have is sometimes I go, or I go, or even worse, I go like this. I look back at my past. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. I bet you some of you thought I was going to talk when I had my back turned. Now listen, love this. Ponder your the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Again, back to this path. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you're walking. Now, okay, obviously there's a physical idea to that. You know, I'm walking down a path. Well, if I go down this path, there's nothing but cobras. Okay, I won't walk down that path. Okay, there's that, obviously. But think about it in your life. Where is your life headed? Yeah, you can say, yeah, it's headed to heaven. But let's be specific presently. Right now, tomorrow, where is your life headed? What does your life look like? What path are you choosing to take? Are you taking the path of wisdom? Or are you taking the path of foolishness? I know somebody who wants to give you wisdom. I know somebody, if you receive his wisdom, you're going to have paths that are smooth. So did you ever ponder the path of your feet? Remember Psalm 119? Your word, lamp to my feet, light to my path. Ponder the paths of your feet. But see, in order to ponder the path of my feet, I have to slow down. I have to slow down. I may even have to stop doing something for a while. How about like this? Something happens in your life. Somebody says or does something to you. In the past, when I was younger, they're in trouble. Here I come. I don't mean I'm going to fight them, but you know, I'm going to verbally assault them in a sense. You know what I mean? Here I come. That never ended good. Go figure. But how about this? Wait. Okay, just wait. Think about it. If I take this next step, if I go down this path, where is this going to lead? Is this going to destroy my family? Is this going to, you fill in the blank. So in order to ponder, you got to slow down, you got to think. In other words, you got to wait. And you got to ask God for wisdom. See how it works? See how it's supposed to work in our life? And listen, I don't stand up here telling you, I got this solved. I'm perfect at it, because I'm not. Ask my wife. I'm getting better at it, because God has to keep... Dunderhead, let's go. He doesn't say dunderhead. He's much more gracious than that. I say dunderhead. You know, I think it's pretty clear in reading these verses tonight that God wants us to choose the path of wisdom. He wants us to choose the path of wisdom and understand something. Wisdom is like in the open square of the town crying out, I'm here. I'm right here. So receive me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, you're so gracious to us. So gracious. Lord, we don't have these things all figured out at times, but yet you're still gracious. Lord, when we stumble, you pick us up. We thank you for that. But Lord, would you help us tonight to choose a path of wisdom? Would, Lord, we not be too prideful or too arrogant to not choose that path of wisdom? Help us, Lord. Lord, we want to be your representatives on this earth. We want to live for you. So, Lord, help us to do that. Lord, each of us, you know our lives as individuals. You know what we're struggling with. You know where we get distracted by, all those things. But Holy Spirit, work all those things out in our life. Show us, Lord, what we need to do, what we need to change, so that we can truly choose the path of wisdom. God, again, thank you for your word. It is so sweet. It is so sweet and so helpful. I'm so thankful for that, Lord, that you actually want to help us. Thank you for that. And would we receive that help, Lord? Please. God, thank you. And we do all these things by the power of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, guys.